Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Your name, Lord, even tonight we ask that your name alone be glorified. We worship you as we lift our voices and holy hands to you, Father. Tonight we know that lives will be changed and destinies will be transformed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. It's good to see you again. Welcome to church. Tonight I want to share, that was a bit of interference. That was not my direction for the service. But I had to align because it's for somebody. I want to share with us tonight on a subject the Lord put in my heart, because somebody is about to come to the end of a season of struggle. And a new season of rest is about to open to that person. And so the Lord has put in my heart tonight to share on a subject, operating the faith that commands results. Just to give you a few nuggets and a few thoughts from the heart of the Lord to help you live the overcomer's life on the face of the earth. In 1 John chapter 5, from verse 4, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And he said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so the believer walking on the face of the earth is not a man trying to survive. The believer walking on the face of the earth is actually a conduit that gives expression to the immortal dimensions of God. We are supposed to be a wonder to our world. When the world wants to look at the dimensions of God, they should look upon you and you become a tributary that reflects and represents all of the essence of God. But when believers begin to struggle to survive, it means something is wrong. And when you trace it carefully, what is wrong with defeat. Because the victory that overcomes the world is tied solely to the faith of the believer. And so when you find believers struggling, sometimes calling upon the name of the Lord and things are not working, it's because they've not come into the element and the reality of their faith. There are three things that defines meaningful existence. And if a man is not working out those three realities, he is just alive, he's not existing. The first thing that defines meaningful existence is to know who you are. And who you are from the realm of God is not a definition according to biology. Neither is it a definition according to your natural ancestry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, when Paul was attempting to define man from the plains of Zion, is a man, is the glory of God. That means you begin to exist when you become a manifestation of the glory of God. And the glory of God is not a shadow. The glory of God is the full weight, the essence of God. And so when men want to touch God, they should touch you. That's why in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, it says, be ye followers of me, even as I am the follower of Christ. That means the plane where Paul was existing from, if you interact with Paul, it's as though you have interacted with the Christ. Because he had become an effulgence, a representation of the person of Christ. And so the first thing that defines your existence is for you to become an expression of the essence of God. The second thing that defines your existence is for you to begin to steward the will of God. Because before the world was formed, God had an intention. There was something in the heart of Abba that he wanted to carry out on the visible realm. But you see, he wouldn't want to step out of the spirit realm to live out that purpose. And I give you an instance very quickly. There are two major realms that God created. The spirit realm and the natural realm. In between is what we call the soulish realm. So you have the supernatural realm, you have the preternatural realm, and you have the natural realm. The spirit realm where God dwells, every purpose God has in mind, he doesn't advance it himself. It is the angels that advances those purposes. That's why they are called angelos. That means they are messengers, high commissioners of God. And so everything God wants to do in the spirit realm, angels are the ones that administer it. And so when you look upon angels, they are characterized based on the will of God that they carry. For example, Gabriel is a custodian of mysteries in Zion. And so every time God has a secret that he wants to convey, the quadrant of the angelic that Gabriel represents are the ones that administer the secrets of God. And that is why even when God brought secrets to the earth realm, all the time it is Gabriel. When he met Daniel, it was Gabriel. When he met Mary, it was Gabriel. When he met Zacharias, it was Gabriel. Not because Gabriel is the only angel that comes to the earth realm. Before Gabriel ever came to the earth, Michael came. Because before man was created, Michael fought with Satan on the face of the earth. Because Lucifer was the governor of the earth realm. And so Michael had visited the earth before. Until today, there are angels walking on the face of the earth. The Bible called them ministering spirits. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. But you see, when a Gabriel shows up, he's coming with the secrets of God, the oracles of God, the wisdom of God. Because in the angelic order, they represent that dimensions of God. So everything God wants to do in the heavens, angels translate and transmit it. But you see, in the natural realm, the jurisdiction and the authority to function in the natural realm does not belong to the angels. It belongs to men. And so men begin to have value when they are able to discern the will of God, and like the angels functioning in Zion, they too, on the face of the earth, begins to administer the will of God. You are not valued because of your name. You are not valued because of your family background. You are valued because of the purpose you represent, because the stature of men on the face of the earth are the purposes they represent. When you want to honor a man, you don't honor him because of the color of his skin. You honor a man because of the purpose that he represents upon the face of the earth. Because when the earth comes to an end, men will be ranked based on the assignments they carried out. That was why when David finished his lifetime, the Bible didn't call him a king. The Bible said when David finished serving the will of God, he rested with his fathers. That means even the throne was an opportunity for him to carry out the will of God. Everything we do is a channel for expressing the will of God. And so the second thing that defines your essence on the face of the earth is your ability to discern the will of God that is peculiar to you and give expression to it. He said to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, he said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. And I didn't form you because I wanted to play. He said, I formed you because there was a purpose that I wanted you to carry out. So he said, I made you a prophet. And he went deeper to explain to him the dimensions of his prophetic ministry. He said, you will uproot and you will plant. And so if Jeremiah fails to uproot and plant, then his existence was a waste. So the second thing that defines the value of your existence is the purpose that you are administering. And then the third thing that defines the value of your existence is the degree to which you glorify God. If your life does not glorify God, you are a selfish man running on the face of the earth for self-aggrandizement. The degree to which you glorify God is what gives you value in the realm of God. And I don't have time tonight to teach on how to glorify God, because time is a body. But if a man begins to glorify God,
Then he begins to touch cords in Zion. That's how Zion we know that is existing. Because if your life does not glorify God, they won't pick your signal in headquarters. They won't know whether you are still on earth. The way they know that you're on earth is that every time incense rises to heaven, it comes from your quarters. And so God can tell that this constituency is still in existence. Because the summation of all you do is the glory, the aggregation of glory that ascends to Zion. And so the third thing that defines a man's existence is the degree to which his life glorifies God. But you see, as beautiful and as simple as these things sound, it will be impossible without the element of faith. And the reason is because there are forces on earth that wants to undermine your existence. There are forces on earth that want to make sure you don't manifest the glory of God, but you manifest other things other than God. That's why the Bible says, love not the world. Because if you get involved in intercourse with another spirit, your life will reveal that spirit. When you find a madman is defined after the glory that he represents. So when you look at him and you call him a lunatic, it's because he is an effulgence, a representation of everything about madness. The same way when men see you, they should see everything that defines God. But you see, there are spirits that want to make it impossible for you to represent God. There are spirits that want to make it impossible for you to advance the will of God, even after you have found it. Because when you find the will of God and you want to prosecute it, that's when you will know what warfare is. Warfare will not come to you because you are alive. Warfare will come to you because you want to live a life of purpose. And so when a man wants to advance the will of God, he will now discover that there are elements that negate that possibility. You may sit down and think making impact is a casual thing. You don't know that it takes battles for a man to be able to make impact that will last in his generation. Until you begin to live the will of God, you will not know the meaning of warfare. Because spirits want to negate it. And then if you want to glorify God, then spirits will come and tell you that there are other princes here that want to steal the glory of God. Because when Adam was in the garden, he didn't know that there was another fallen cherub that was also interested in receiving glory from man. And so he was led the path of rebellion. But the only way you can live out purpose efficaciously is when faith begins to define you. And so this is why the Bible teaches a lot on faith. And this is why God has also mandated me tonight to show you a few secrets that makes your faith work. Because if your faith is working, you will not necessarily buy a car. If your faith is working, you will not necessarily buy a land. If your faith is working, you will manifest the glory of God. If your faith is working, you will live out the will of God. And if your faith is working, your life will glorify God. While you are yet manifesting the glory of God, a land may come, a car will come. All of that are called the addendums of the kingdom. Because he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The power and the authority of faith is too big to be used only for mundane economy. That's why physical prosperity is an addition to spiritual prosperity. He said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. Because when a man begins to prosper in the spirit, naturally, he will prosper. There is no force that can stop him from prospering. But the key is faith. And so tonight, I want to show you four things about faith. The faith that commands results. Time. I'm constrained. I want to travel far. But I have just 1 hour. What can you teach in 1 hour? No challenge. I'll slow down. Anything I don't communicate, we will impart it. There are two ways of communicating truth. You can communicate it through doctrine, and you can also communicate it through impartation. Because impartation is a body of spirit. So if we can't complete the doctrinal aspect, we will impart it. But by all means, the faith that commands results will come upon you tonight. I'm seeing young men,
young men that look so insignificant suddenly beginning to rise. See, they are like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The kings that the elders cannot confront, these ones will rise up and they will say, we will not be careful to answer you in this matter. We will not be careful. Men that can go through the fire, the militancy of the spirit on their lives, will be dreaded by the kings of the world. Young men with fire and power to challenge the enemies at the gate. They are about to rise. There's something burning in the heart of somebody. Oh my God. Pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Some things are more important than teaching. They are waves in the Spirit. You would have touched fire in the spirit. That's why he said he maketh his angels spirits, but his ministers, they are flames of fire. If you have not touched fire in the spirit, fire will intimidate you on earth. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I saw. The reason he could confront government is because he met the seraphims, the ones that walked to and fro in the midst of the coals of fire. And he said his tongue was touched with the fire. There's somebody that fire will come upon now. Because the ministry of the seraphims is about to be activated. The power to host fire. The power to communicate fire. The spirit of revival and the mantle of fire. It falls upon you now. Take that fire. In Bible schools, he raises them in the furnace of fire. Fire. Men that come back down, he said, time will fail me to speak of Gideon, to speak of Barak, to speak of Jephthah, to speak of Samson, David, and the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms. They are not preachers, they are men that subdue kingdoms. They root out kingdoms and they establish new government. Who through faith. He said they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. He said these ones, they were weak,
But they were made valiant in battle, and they put to flight the armies of the alien. They are men that will put to flight the armies of the alien. Tonight is your night. The scepter of fire, the power of the ages to come, it comes upon you now. Lukewarm. People are representing God with human intelligence. We have no witnesses. But tonight I come to you in the spirit and in the power of Elijah. Carriers of fire, custodians of authority that establishes government and dominion. Wherever you are, I summon those ones with that order of ordination. Take that power now. Take that power. Fire, take it. Elekamato, Sakarua, Sakayana, Sakak, Sarah, Sakarako, Apaya, Senapa, Sakak, 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 Sakarano, Sakarua, Lydia. In the spirit. They don't just have wombs in the natural. They have wombs in the spirit. And so nothing dies around them. Any purpose, any ordination, any dimension that dies, they bet it again on the altar. Because as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. There are women with wombs in the spirit that will bet purposes and ordination. I don't know where you are. I don't know what God brought you here for. But tonight, there is a wind around you. The same way Elijah was carried, you are carried by the Holy Ghost. Takakora sagate, tete kakali karakana, balagadafa, bantako barakira salagaya. Benaya, 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 Benaya.
of you by my left, please stretch your hands towards me. I see a movement, a wind is moving here. Somebody is about to be carried. There are gates open in the spirit now. Help them, please. Help them. There are gates open in the spirit. By the spirit of God, right now, let that wind come upon you. Carry them to those realms. Carry them to those realms. Pato Kabare Katana, Baliata, Edagado, Sadak, Sadak, Yato Takasale, Leila, Leila, Komera Kale, Andato Takasale, Sakadio. Somebody on this row, you were attacked with a spirit of insanity. You were attacked with a spirit of insanity. But I see a mantle come upon you to cast out devils. Where is that person? You were attacked with a spirit of insanity. Stretch your hands in my direction. Father, such as I carry, by the spirit of God, take that fire now. Now, he said, this is the time to inherit nations. This is the time to inherit nations. And so those of you listening here, on ground and online, every nation, every territory, apportioned to you in the spirit, receive the capacity now. Take those nations. Take those nations. Take those nations. Take those nations. The spirit of color. The spirit of Caleb, every mountain attached and apportioned to you, now is your time. I stretch the rod of the apostolic over you now. Receive the power. Take the mountains. 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 They are fighting you in your office. They are fighting you and frustrating you in your office. That office is too small. You return tomorrow to take over dominion in that office. Because every mountain, a portion tonight is inherited. Take your portion in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Ah, my God. My God. My God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, my God. Some of you in the next 7 days, in the next 7 days, by the hand of God, you will be carried from the state of the beggar and you will be enthroned where princes dwell. In the next 7 days, powers that has limited, powers that have limited, they are being cut off now. Tongues that brought negative verdicts are being cut off. Receive the grace for establishment. 7 days. A shift that changes your life forever.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Things are happening in the spirit. Can you just lift your hands and say, I receive by faith? I'm seeing a slender being, tall, standing behind. And he's just dropping things over people. Stretch your hands up and say, I receive by faith. The levels of men, the status of men, the authorities of men are being changed in the spirit. It's a Kairos moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Stretch your hands towards me. You, Azubike, stretch your hands quickly. Shift in the spirit. Take that scepter now. I shift you in the spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh. In Jesus' precious name. Please be seated. Thank you, Father. I need to share with you tonight. Can you stop playing for a moment? I'm hearing somebody shouting towards my right hand. There is a mantle coming upon you. It's a scepter in the spirit. Something just fell upon the person. Strong. Please help that person. You can't even contain it. Receive that grace. Receive that grace. Receive that grace. Take in the spirit. Thank you, Father. We have to change the sound so that I can teach. Spirits move on vibration. If you find their frequency, they begin to administer their essence. So let me shut down so that I can share something. There are secrets I want to give you tonight so you can live the victorious life. Can we switch? So I can teach. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what the glory He sheds on our way.
When we do His good will, He abides with us still, and we know who will trust.
Jesus, come.
Hallelujah. Let's share the word. That frequency we were on, the whole time will be gone. There are four things you need to know, you need to believe, and you need to apply to command or to operate in the faith that commands result. The first is that the faith that commands result is born. It's not a psychological faith. It's not a mental faith. It's not an accent of the mind. It is born in the spirit. There are many people that talk like others, act like others, hoping they will command their results. You don't command the result of a man that you talk like, dress like, or act like. You can only command an order or a dimension of result that you have faith for. Because faith is not a mental thing. It's a spiritual offspring of the intercourse between your spirit and the word of God. Faith is born. Every time the word of God enters your spirit, there is a spiritual insemination that takes place. So what you call faith is an offspring of the intercourse between your spirit and the word of God. When Jesus was teaching about the parable of the sower, he said the sower goes to sow the seed. The results that come from that seed is what you call faith. The word seed in that scripture is the word spiro. It means to scatter abroad. And then the word in its original meaning is the word spelma. It's the same word you call spermatozoan. The way the sperm fertilizes the egg and a child is born. That's the spiritual process that takes place for faith to be born. Faith is not mental. A lot of people think that when you speak boldly, things will happen. Boldness is not faith. Faith is an offspring of the fertilization of the spirit of man by the word of God. That's why the Bible said in Romans 10:17, it said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so if the word of God has not entered your spirit, there's no way faith can be born. The moment the word of God enters the spirit of a man, the proof that a man has received the word is not that he speaks it. The proof that a man has received the word is that faith emerges. Faith is the sign that you have received the word. If you have not seen faith operate in a dimension, it means you have not received the word in that dimension. That's how these things work. And so anything you want to see happen, stop struggling. Go and find the light and the word of God in that area. The moment you enter your spirit man, faith is born. Praise God. The kind of faith we are talking about here is not the faith that they operated in the Old Testament. I told you when I was teaching 2 weeks ago that there's a difference between scripture and revelation. Celebrate my brother, Apostle Isaac from Zambia. This is a good man. This is a good man. It's good to see you. You know, when you study the Bible, you are going to find lots of words and lots of descriptions for faith. You will hear small faith. You will hear great faith. You will hear weak faith. All of this tries to qualify the different dimensions of faith. But you see, the subject of faith now is no longer about the size. Because the faith we are operating with is the faith of the Son of God. And I will explain what I mean by that. Praise God. The faith we are operating with now is the faith of the Son of God. That faith is not consequential because of its size. That's why Jesus said, even if your faith is as small, Matthew 17:20, as a mustard seed, he said, you will command this mountain, be thou removed. And he said, if you do not doubt, he said, you will have that mountain removed. Number two, He said, if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, Luke 17, verse 6, you will command the mulberry tree to be uprooted, and it will be uprooted. That means size is no longer the subject of faith. The subject of faith has moved from size. The subject of faith now is about the kind of faith. And the kind of faith every one of us who has accepted Christ here possesses in our spirit is the faith of the Son of God. And so if you have the faith of the Son of God, you can do what the Son of God does. But the problem you will have is the problem of understanding. So the problem of a believer is no longer the problem of faith. The problem of a believer is now the problem of understanding. I read two scriptures for you before I explain how understanding works in this subject matter. Remember, I don't have time to go into the subject anymore. So I'm just trying to pick something to give you an idea as we proceed. If you look at Romans, or let me begin Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24. Jesus was speaking to the disciples. After he had taught them about small faith, after he had taught them about great faith, after he had taught them about weak faith, he taught them all the kinds of faith that they were operating with before he showed up. He now began to teach them another order of faith. And he told them, have the God kind of faith. I know you have heard about strong faith. You have heard about weak faith. You have heard about small faith. You've heard about all kinds of faith. And if you study the kinds of faith that the Bible spoke of before Jesus came, they were all in the verb sense. They were defined based on the action. But the faith Jesus was introducing to the believers now was not a faith defined by action. It was not a verb kind of faith. It was a noun kind of faith. That means faith now is not just what you do. Faith is now who you are. When you speak about great faith, he was talking about the fact that a Gentile was able to do something by faith. The only two times in scripture where the word great faith was used, he was referring to Gentiles. It was the Canaanite woman and it was the centurion. These were not Jewish people. So Jesus called it great faith because even though they didn't have an inheritance in Israel, they were able to believe what belongs to Israel and to receive from God. So he called it great faith. So every faith before the coming of Jesus was defined based on action. Now Jesus is bringing a faith that is no longer an action, a faith that will be a life. So even when you are doing or you are not doing, you are still in faith. This is a different kind of faith. You don't define it by the action. You define it by the essence, the being. And he said, this kind of faith, it comes into your spirit. Those who were operating in faith before Jesus came, whom he taught with, they didn't have God on their inside. They only believed God. So their faith was in the verb sense. Now, you are having faith not just by believing God to do something. You are now having faith because God is entering into you. So the God of faith now dwells on your inside. So your faith is no longer defined based on what you do. Your faith is now defined based on who you are. So when he said have the God kind of faith, what he was telling them is that be inseminated with the DNA of God. So whether you act or you don't act, you are in faith. Because of that position you attain, you are more than a conqueror. So you are no longer trying to win. You are now living from victory. The man who operates in great faith will fight to win. The man who operates in strong faith will fight to win because his faith is defined by action. But the man who possesses the God kind of faith is not trying to win. He's living from victory. So his faith is no longer defined by verbs, by what he does. His faith is not defined by who he is. So the man is more than a conqueror. The man is more than a victor. So when others are fighting to receive, that man just understands that he already has. So somebody is fighting to possess. So that possession will qualify his faith. This one is no longer fighting to possess. This one now knows that he already possesses all things. So what he receives is not what defines his faith. Who he is what defines his faith. And you are now asking, what is the difference? This is the difference. The difference between the God kind of faith and the other kinds of faith that Jesus taught is that in those other kinds of faith, you will contend to possess what you have. But in the Jesus kind of faith, you don't contend to possess what you have. You know you already have it. And the moment knowledge comes to you, it already appears. Because Jesus was the one who fought for you to possess it. I give you a simple example to explain to you. Somebody may have cancer. And then because he doesn't have the life of God on his inside, he will need to believe God to heal the cancer. And so if he believes God, if he's not a Christian, and he believes God and the cancer is healed, you can call that great faith. Because he didn't have the right to healing. And because he didn't have the right to healing, even he knows he didn't have the right to healing. So he called upon the name of the Lord and the cancer was taken away. So God will now call that great faith because he didn't have the right to healing. But when a believer has cancer, he's not trusting God to come and heal him because God will not heal him. You know why? God has already healed him in Christ. So what the believer needs now is not a great faith. It's a faith that understands. A faith that knows that in Christ Jesus is already healed. It's a faith that knows that if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in him, it quickens his mortal body. So when that believer stands up and walks out of cancer, technically speaking, the believer is not healed. Technically speaking, the believer just entered his reality. Because the cancer was not there from the realm of God. When God looks at that believer, God will not see cancer. When God looks at that believer, God is seeing one that was healed by his stripes. When God looks at that believer, God is seeing one who is perfected already. It is the reality of that believer through ignorance that makes him know or feel he has cancer. The moment he aligns with God, he will know that cancer was already dealt with 2,000 years ago. So you don't say that person has great faith. That person actually has great understanding. Because the faith that came into his spirit already made it impossible for him to be sick. He just needs understanding to walk in that reality. It may look almost the same, but they are worlds apart. The reason you find Christians today fighting to receive, is because they are still operating from the kinds of faith that Jesus taught before he gave us the faith of the Son of God. The faith Jesus taught before he gave us the faith of the Son of God is the faith that possesses. And so you will have to fight to get everything that belongs to you. But the faith that Jesus gave us is not a faith that is defined by action. It's a faith that is defined by who we are. And when you begin to understand that faith, you will now know that you are not sick. You will now know that you are not poor. You will now know that you are not weak. You will now know that you are not defeated. If you are not defeated, which mountain are you casting away? That's why Bishop Oedeko said something very intelligent and very spiritual. He said there is no mountain anywhere. He said every man's ignorance is his mountain. If you want to deal with a mountain from the perspective of the man that operates great faith, you will have to fight the mountain. But if you have entered into understanding, you don't see any mountain anywhere because of the realm where you are operating from. So for you, faith is a lifestyle. For you, faith is who you are. For you, faith is your experience. So you are not trying to do something. Remember, when you study the scripture, all of the faith that were qualified based on the actions that were carried out. You are no longer carrying out actions to walk in it. You already possess all things by understanding. Now, how does this operate in your life? You may not have come there yet. So you may still apply the other one. It doesn't mean it's wrong. In the law of biblical interpretation, the less is included in the greater. Like I taught you before, if you give, it shall be given unto you. That was a reality that existed. But now, you don't give for it to be given unto you. Now you possess all things. Now you are a co-heir with Christ. Now all things are yours. But in case you have not come into this highest level of revelation, and you are still operating with give, it shall be given unto you, God will still respect it. Because God does not abolish that which was in order to create the new one. God only came to fulfill that which was by producing a new one. So if you are operating the old order, God will still honor your faith and bless you. But much more than the old order, there is now a new order. So those who operate the God kind of faith, they don't fall sick. Those who operate the God kind of faith, they are not poor. Those who operate the God kind of faith, they are not weak. So if you want to define them by great faith or weak faith, there will be no basis for it because there's no action to define it. You define the other dimensions of faith by the action people carry out. You now meet a man who never falls sick. What kind of faith are you going to call it? If the centurion said, you don't need to come, send the word only and my servant to be healed. And Jesus called it great faith because he was a Gentile. And then you now, you don't fall sick. So you don't need the word to be sent. What kind of faith would they call it? Because you are now operating at a realm that can no longer be qualified. You are now operating at a realm that can no longer be defined. That's why when you see Jesus, you cannot say Jesus has great faith. You will undermine him. You cannot say Jesus has strong faith. You will undermine him. You cannot say Jesus has powerful faith. You will undermine him. The moment you qualify what Jesus carries, you have undermined it. Because what Jesus carries is at a realm that cannot be defined. It's at a realm that cannot be qualified. Because Jesus is not trying to possess anything. All things are his. He just walks in the reality of all things. So when Jesus said, have the God kind of faith, he was actually taking us beyond the realm of qualification. He was bringing us to the God class. He was taking us beyond the realm of definition. He was bringing us to the God class. So that as he is, so shall we be. And so the first thing you need to know is that when the word of God enters your spirit man now, you are no longer collecting the word to achieve something. You are now receiving the word to become like the word. There are two different things. It's one way to receive the word and use the word to get a result. It's another way to receive the word and become one with the word. In the second order, you become the result. In the first order, you get the result. In the second order, you become the result. So somebody receives the word of God and gets a job. That's great faith. Somebody receives the word and gets a healing. That's strong faith. You receive the word, you are not getting the job. You become the employment. You receive the word, you are not getting healing. You become health. You become bam in Gilead. How do you call that faith? That's called the faith of the Son of God. Does this undermine what was? No. Because the lesser is included in the greater. Believers don't know this. That's why we are fighting unnecessary battles every day. We are not supposed to be the ones receiving the healing. We are supposed to be the ones giving the healing. If you study the scripture, when Jesus was teaching about great faith, strong faith, weak faith, they were receiving things from God. Where you are now, you are not the one receiving anymore. You are now the one giving. The guy received healing. It was called great faith. The guy received something from God. It was called strong faith. You are no longer receiving. You are now giving. Because everything God has, he has made you an administrator over it. And so because you are not the one receiving anymore, we can't define your faith by any of those order. I am not saying the teachings that were was wrong. But I'm saying there's a new paradigm that the Lord has opened. The faith of the Son of God is not a faith that receives. It's actually a faith that gives. The faith that receives can be a strong faith. The faith that receives can be a great faith. The faith that receives can be a weak faith. The faith that receives can be a passive faith, depending on the way it is receiving. But the faith that gives has left the realm of qualification. That faith is called the God kind of faith. That faith is where God is. That faith does what God does. That faith operates how God operates. And because Jesus' faith could not be qualified as great faith, weak faith, or small faith, your faith is also not a great faith. Your faith is not a weak faith. Your faith is the faith of the Son of God. And if you go back to read the New Testament, after Jesus resurrected, the subject of faith as great, weak, small ended. The moment Jesus resurrected, faith was no longer defined as great faith. Faith was no longer defined as weak faith. Faith was consistently defined as the faith of the Son of God. If you study Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, the life I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm no longer living by great faith. I'm no longer living by strong faith. I'm not living by the faith of the Son of God. If you study 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter said he's writing to the believers that are scattered abroad that has like precious faith. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul said, according as they believe and have spoken, we having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak. Why are they saying what they are saying? Because they now know that they have moved from the realm of receiving. They have now entered the realm of giving. The realm of receiving, your faith can be qualified based on what you can receive. But in the realm of giving, all things are yours. So your faith can no longer be qualified. That means whatever you want, you possess. Because you can no longer be defined based on what you have. Faith is now who you are. That is the first understanding we need to have. And when you have that understanding, you will now know that you are not insufficient in faith. That means the faith Jesus had, the faith Peter had, the faith Paul had, that's the same faith you have. And so you can now dare to make the kinds of demand that Jesus made. And that was why Jesus said, greater works than this shall ye do. That means the realm we are operating now is that we are no longer trying to trust God for something. No. We are now manifesting the different tributaries and dimensions of God. When we are trusting God for things, we can be grouped in the category of those who trusted before. Did you study the life of Jesus? Jesus was a commander of circumstances. He saw the wind boisterous, and the Bible said he stood up and he rebuked the wind and commanded the waves to be still, and it was so. Jesus showed up, somebody was dead, and he said, I thank you, O Father, that you always hear me. And then you will be hoping that Jesus will say, Father, please raise him from the dead. And Jesus never asked the Father. Jesus now takes the place of the Father and says, Lazarus, come forth. In the faith of the Son of God, you are not asking God to do something. You are taking the place of God. You are taking the position of God because God sent you as his representative. And so, for you to begin to walk in the faith that commands result, you need to know that what Jesus has is exactly what you have. What Peter has is exactly what you have. What Paul had is exactly what you have. You don't have less than Jesus had. You don't have less than Paul had. You don't have less than Peter had. Everything they had is what you have. And that's why Jesus told you to do greater work. If it were not so, it would have been a setup. If Jesus sends you to do more than what he has done, it would have been a setup because you would have died. Because if you don't have what he has in the same quality, there's no way you would have been able to manifest him. I know somebody is listening to me and he said, no, brother. What they were using were qualitative terms. When they said great faith, they were just trying to qualify faith. When they said strong faith, they were just trying to qualify faith. It's not so. It's not so. There were two dimensions of faith. There was the faith before the new covenant, and there was the faith after the new covenant. The faith before the new covenant is a receiving faith. And that's why you can qualify that faith. The faith after the new covenant is not a receiving faith. It's a giving faith. Now, the body of Christ is still maturing. So we still trust God for things, and God understands it. But that we have not matured does not mean God will lower his standard. Hope you know now that we are not supposed to be sick. But are there sick Christians? Yes. So God will be healing people until the body of Christ matures into divine health. But that the body of Christ is yet to mature into divine health does not mean God will lower his standard and say, okay, we now remove divine health from the shelf. Let's begin to work on healing. It doesn't work like that. Before the resurrection of Jesus, there was no such thing as divine health. There was only divine healing because you only receive from God. So you need different kinds of faith to receive. But after the resurrection, in addition to divine healing, there was divine health. In divine health, you walk in the class and in the order of God. That was not there before the resurrection. It is added after the resurrection. Before the resurrection, you needed to trust God to prosper you. You needed to trust God to increase your finances. After the resurrection, you don't trust God to prosper you anymore. The power to get wealth is now with you. You decide to command wealth. You decide to create wealth. Because everything faith can do through God, it cannot do through you. So when you read the scriptures, you need to find out where we were. And you need to find out where we are going. Because if you don't understand where we were, even though you possess all things, you will be walking at a disadvantaged level. Do you know that today, people's experiences fluctuate because of how they feel? When a man prays, and prays very well, and he feels on fire, that day he comes out with boldness. Because that day he perceives he carries a great faith. The day he doesn't pray, and he doesn't feel the fire, that day he perceives he has a weak faith. So his experiences fluctuate. His experiences fluctuate because his emotions define the quality of his faith. But when a man knows he has the faith of the Son of God, he knows he's not operating with great faith or small faith. He's operating at the realm of God. All he needs to do is to give a command. So whether he feels it or he doesn't feel it, he is not moved. His feelings no longer dictate for him. He now begins to operate in the God class. And that kind of faith, you don't read it in a book. That kind of faith, it is born by the intercourse between your spirit and the word of God. So your experiences do not qualify your faith. Your experiences rather qualifies your understanding. Your faith is not a strong faith. Your faith is not a weak faith. Your faith is not a small faith. Your faith is the faith of God. But your experiences can showcase weakness or strength depending on the kind of understanding that you have. So it is your understanding that is either great, it is your understanding that is either weak, and it is your understanding that is either small. Because your faith is exactly like the faith of the Son of God. And so if you know this, something begins to happen in your life. That is when you can begin to live the more than conqueror's life. That is when you can begin to live the life that overcomes the world. But believers are not taught. And so till date, believers are going to read after the Old Testament to build their kind of faith. No, we have gone past that level. We are operating where Jesus is operating now. That's why I said you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. That's why he said, as he is, so are you in this world. And so the question you ask yourself is, what kind of faith did Jesus have? Was it a great faith? Was it a strong faith? Was it a weak faith? Was it a small faith? He didn't have any of those faith. He had a God kind of faith. And the God kind of faith called those things that be not as though they were. The God kind of faith created the world out of nothing. The God kind of faith called light out of darkness. The God kind of faith has no regard for condition. The God kind of faith creates the result that he desires. And so when you come to that level, your mentality changes. And the moment your mentality changes, it impacts your spirit. And the moment it impacts your spirit, the quality of your existence changes. If you are walking with a faith that can be qualified, your experiences will be fluctuating. Your experiences will be fluctuating. Go and check the Bible and you will see that happen with everybody that had qualifiable faith. But the life of Jesus was upward and forward only. You may not have gotten there by experience, but we teach the highest standards of God so that we know what to look up to, so that you know what to pursue. And so if it doesn't work today, don't say my faith is weak. Your faith is not weak. If it doesn't work today, there is something you don't know that you need to know. If it doesn't work today, don't say my faith is not strong. No, it's not about your faith. It's about your understanding. If it doesn't work today, or if it works today, don't say I have a great faith. I'm a faith champion. No! Whether it works or it doesn't work has nothing to do with faith anymore. Because the faith that is in you is a prototype of the faith of the Son of God. If it doesn't work, the problem is with your understanding. And when you know this, you will start walking with boldness. I know a lot of believers are fear demons. You know why they fear demons? They are not sure what will happen. And when it doesn't happen, they think they don't have enough faith to cast out devils. I know a lot of believers that can't say what God tells them to say. Even if an angel appears to them and gives them a message, they can't say it. When God talks to them, they will go and pray in tongues for 2 hours before they say what God said. You know why? They want to feel faith first. They want to feel strength before they say it. If they knew what they carried in their spirit man, they would know that any day, anytime, they can do anything. So their prayer, their fasting, their meditation becomes about experiencing God in a higher degree, not about creating results. Because what creates results is already inserted and planted in their spirit man. And as you know this, your experiences stop fluctuating. This is how faith works. The faith of the New Testament is the God kind of faith. That faith cannot be qualified. The reason our experiences fluctuate is because our understanding fluctuates. If we get our understanding right, any day, anytime, we will command the same result that God commanded. Because the results of God are not born out of great faith. The results of God are not born out of strong faith. The results of God are in the God class. It is the God kind of faith that produces the God's result. We were not called to create results after the order of those who had great faith. We were not called to produce results after the order of those who had strong faith. We were called to produce results after the order of the Son of God. That's why we were given the faith of the Son of God. If you study Romans chapter 12 verse 3, the Bible said, unto every one of us is dealt with the measure. He didn't say a measure. If he said a measure, you would have been able to quantify it or qualify it. He said the measure. That means the measure of faith you need to any day, any time represent God is what is in your spirit now. And so if you are not manifesting God like that, it means there's something wrong with your understanding. And so somebody will go to his work tomorrow, and instead of asking God, Lord, please come and bless my business, he will look at the business and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to begin to prosper. Because it may take great faith for God to intervene. But when you enter the realm of the God kind of faith, what God would have done, you start doing it. Because he has sent you as his administrator. Somebody will go back to his business, and instead of asking God, Father, intervene in this business, he will show up and walk around the business and say, I take authority. In the name of the Lord Jesus, business, I command you to begin to prosper. That is not great faith. That is the God kind of faith. You are not waiting for God to intervene. You have come in the order and in the class of God. You are not waiting for God to show up. You have come because God sent you to represent him. So what God would have come to do, you begin to do it on his behalf. They are two different things. They are different worlds, and believers don't know this. Believers don't know this. That's why their experiences fluctuate. I pray that God opens your heart to understand what I'm saying beyond how I'm communicating it. We are no longer called to receive from God. Paul was speaking in 1 Corinthians 3:20. He said, all things are yours. Paul was speaking in Romans 8:17. He said, we are joint heirs with Christ. God doesn't have anything to give you anymore. He's giving you all things when he gave you Christ. If God still had something to give you, you would have needed great faith to receive it. If God still had something to give you, you would have needed strong faith to receive it. He has nothing to give you anymore. Everything, the Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, he said he has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the epignosis, through the knowledge, through the experiential understanding of him that has called you to glory and virtue. Everything God has to offer, he gave in Christ. And so if you are still calling on God for intervention, you will have a problem. So what you need to do is to wake up and realize that what makes God do what he does, he has put it on your inside. And so your understanding now is what commands your result. Many are not aware. They are not aware. And it's risky to teach things like this because it's going against the grain. And when you teach things like this, they ask you, what results do you command? The faith we are talking about now is not result-based. The faith we are talking about now is essence-based. Because you don't need to do anything now to have the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God makes you a son of God. The faith of the Son of God makes you an heir of God. The faith of the Son of God makes you more than a conqueror. A more than a conqueror doesn't need to fight to prove a point. The battle has ended. A more than a conqueror doesn't need to do anything to prove who he is. He's already the possessor of the inheritances of God. Now, when you operate from there, if the devil tries to negate who you are, then you can say, hey, I know who I am. You are no longer going to God, say, Lord, help me. If the devil comes with sickness, you say, hey, I know who I am. If the devil comes with poverty, you say, hey, I know what I have. I'm no longer fighting to possess this. It's already mine. He said, Jesus Christ, rich as he was, he became poor, so that you through his poverty will be made rich. I'm already rich, I have all things. And so there are two different realities. Don't go back to the old order and define yourself based on what you receive. Live from the new order and define yourself based on who you are. If you know who you are, you will receive. But if you don't know who you are, you may try to receive and still not receive. There are two different things. You carry the faith of the Son of God. And everything that belongs to the Son of God belongs to you. And so you are not living now to receive something to define your faith. You are living as a possessor of all things, using your faith to defend it. That's who you are. It is an understanding that believers need to possess today in order to become victors. That's why I told you, this kind of faith is born. This kind of faith is not something somebody told you about. This kind of faith is not something somebody motivated you for. This kind of faith is born in your spirit. You know, like you know your name, that is who you are. And so even if you are dying today, you know with all certainty that you are more than a conqueror. So your experience can no longer qualify who you are. You have become bigger than your experience. And as you begin to master this faith, a point will come where nothing can happen to you. You begin to make things happen. A point will come where things cannot happen around your environment. You occasion the things that happen in your environment. That's why when you look at the life of Jesus, nothing happened to him. Even when he died, he said, "This commandment have I received of my Father." He said, "I have the power to lay down my life." He said, "No man can take it from me." You know, when Jesus was to be arrested, Peter wanted to demonstrate great faith. And Jesus told him, "If I was to operate in that order, I can call my Father now and he will send 12 legions of angels. But I'm no longer calling for intervention. This commandment have I received of my Father. I have the power to lay down my life and to take it up. No one can take my life from me. My Father has brought me to a level where I don't need intervention. The level where my Father has brought me to now, I am the security of the world." That's why I said you are the salt of the earth. That's why I said you are the light of the world. You are not somebody hoping that God will shine light on you. You are not hoping that God will salt your life. No, you are the light as he is the light. You are the salt as he is the salt. So things don't happen to you to define you anymore. You make things happen. It's called the faith of the Son of God. Does this mean overnight things will start happening to you? No. You have to grow in it. And that's why you must go to the second level. Having known that you have the faith of the Son of God, the second thing you do to operate this faith is that you start putting it to work. Because if you don't put this faith to work, you will not see the result. It's a new order. It's an updated version of faith. And so you have to keep putting it to work in order to master it. If you don't put it to work, you may not master it. Because this one, you grow with it and you grow in it. And the way you grow in it is to consistently and constantly put it to work. And there are four ways of putting this faith to work very quickly. I can't do the exercises I wanted to do. The first way you put this faith to work is to exercise it. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says strong meat belongs to them who are of full age, who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern. When you begin to exercise this faith, then you begin to come into experiential understanding. The reason is because the faith is not the issue, it's the understanding that is the issue. And so the first way to grow this faith is to begin to put the faith to work. Then you begin to learn on the job. Because God is bringing you to a new class entirely. The first order, you are calling on the Lord. And so when you call on the Lord, if it doesn't happen, you can go and wait and say, maybe God does not want it to happen. But where you are now, it will always happen. Because it no longer depends on God. It now depends on you. When you are operating the first order of faith that calls upon God and receives from God, it may happen and it may not happen. But when you are operating the God kind of faith, it will always happen when you want it to happen. Because it no longer depends on God, it now depends on you. And so the way you increase your percentage of obtaining the results you are looking for is by constantly exercising that faith so that you build your understanding. And that's one of the ways you put that faith to work. Most of you here, you are supposed to be casting out devils from territories. But you have not casted out a demon from one person. Most of you here, you are supposed to be lending to nations. But you have not even begun to give offerings. Most of you here, you are supposed to be healing the sick in drones and in multitudes. But you have not even started praying for the sick. And so the faith that should heal millions of sick people, the faith that should give to nations, the faith that should cast out devils, is already in you, but it's not exercised. And so you are waiting for that day when God will show up. And God is saying, I'm never going to show up. I have sent you to show up on my behalf. And so if you don't start doing it, forget about it. If you are calling me to show up, you are in trouble. You are the one to show up on my behalf. Meanwhile, you are in your house. People are dying. You are saying, Lord, when will you have mercy? Lord, when will you intervene? And God is saying, intervene where? I've intervened through you. The faith and the power with which I should intervene is what I already put in you. You go out and confront the devils. And then you are calling on the Lord day and night. And God said, I have already answered. That's why I sent you there. But if you don't know this, you will not put that faith to work. And so many people are crying and calling upon the name of the Lord when God sent them as an answer. It took Moses 40 years to understand that it is possible for God to send a man. It took Moses 40 years to understand that God will never come to Pharaoh, because God is not fighting with Pharaoh. Pharaoh is too small to summon God to Egypt. It took Moses 40 years to understand that the answer Israel was looking for was among Israel. And that's the problem many people have today. They are waiting for an angel to show up. They are waiting for the Holy Ghost to speak from heaven. They are waiting for a visionary encounter to begin to create the change that God sent them to create. And God is telling them, you are the change the world is waiting for. Better wake up. And so the first way to put the God kind of faith to work is to begin to exercise it. The more you exercise that faith, the more you will see results. One of my sons called me. He went somewhere to pray for the sick. And a lot of people were healed. But he prayed for one lady that was deaf, and the deafness will not go. And he was so discouraged and came back and said, he prayed about it and nothing happened. He said, why did Jesus heal some and didn't heal the other? I said, well, the reason is because you are the one dictating who is healed. If you say some things, it will be heretic. You know, our generation is very religious. If you go out to win souls, you will say, I won 10 souls. But when you go out to pray for the sick, you will come back and say, Jesus healed 10 sick people. Because you feel that if you say, I healed 10 people, people will now say, hey, you are taking the glory of God. How many souls did you win today? I won 20 souls. Are you the one who won the souls? But why do you say so? The reason is because the eternal life that was given to the person came from your spirit. The eternal life didn't come from heaven. It is God that won the soul, but God won the soul through you. Because you were the one who communicated that life to that person's spirit. And so if you can say you won 10 souls, why are you afraid of saying you heal 10 sick people? Because of two things. You are afraid that if you say you heal 10 sick people, people will think you are taking the glory of God. And number two, you are afraid because you can easily replicate soul winning, but you don't know you can replicate healing. So you are careful to say, I'm not the one. So that tomorrow, if they are not healed, you'll say, well, the ones Jesus wanted to heal, Jesus have healed them. This one, I don't know. All power belongs to God. But when it comes to soul winning, you don't think it's supernatural. You think you just convince the people. And so any day, any time, you can convince them. But when you see the sick, you know if you dare say you did it, tomorrow the world will come and say, okay, since you said you did this one, do this one again. And you are not sure you can replicate it. So in order to put yourself in a safe place, you can say you want souls, but when it has to do with healing, you say, Jesus healed the sick. How do you think you glorify God? Do you think you glorify God by saying, God is the one that did it? That's not how the Bible says we glorify God in the New Testament. The way you glorify God in the New Testament is that you showcase the excellencies of God. You manifest the dimensions of God. In John chapter 2, when Jesus turned water to wine, the Bible said he glorified, he revealed his glory. So you reveal the glory of God by demonstrating what God does. When people see you, they will know it's the God in you that is working. Everybody know what you are doing. Men don't do it. They know. And so instead of religiously saying what yourself don't believe, you better wake up and begin to manifest God. Peter said something, 1 Peter 2:9. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's own special people, called forth to showcase the excellencies of God. So when you lay hands on the sick and they recover, you have glorified God. When you prophesy over people and their lives prosper, you have glorified God. It's not when you come back and say, Jesus did it, I'm not the one that did it, that you are glorifying God. That is a part of it. But the bulkier part of it is the fact that you reveal the glory of God and it shows God's love towards humanity. That God decided to put his essence in a man for a man to host it. When you look at my son and my son resembles me, my son has glorified me. When you look at my son and my son live according to my standard, my son has glorified me. My son doesn't need to come and say, the reason I'm living well is because of my father. He doesn't need all those religion. When you see him living upright, you'll say, that's the son of his father. What he's doing is what glorifies me. It's not primarily that he came to say, it's my father that did it. All of that is a religious cliche. And so the first way to put this kind of faith to work is to begin to exercise it. And I can assure you, many believers are not exercising that faith. When you read the scripture, you are going to see the way the elders live their lives. And I show you a few of them very quickly as I round up. There's so much to share. Let me just tell you two things. Number one, in Matthew 28, from verse 18 to 20, Jesus said, go into all the world and disciple all nations. He spoke. In Mark 16, verse 20, the Bible said they went out and the Lord walking with them. So they didn't hear what God said and sat down and said, we will take over the world. There are many people sitting down and say, we will take over the world. We will take over the world. That's not how you exercise that faith. You don't exercise that faith by talking it. You exercise that faith by doing it. And so many people hear what God says and they keep repeating it. They think by re-echoing it for a million times, they will begin to see it happen. That's why their life is funny. Because you are not walking in evolution, you are walking in creation. It's not how long you say that produces the result. It is in doing it that the result begins to happen. God told them again, I show you, in Luke chapter 6 verse 38, he said, give, it shall be given unto you. And then in Acts chapter 4 verse 34, the Bible said, they that were possessors of land, they sold it and brought the money to the apostles' feet. So they didn't just hear and were quoting, give, it shall be given unto you. When they heard it, they began to do it. Because the way you grow in the faith of the Son of God is that you put it to work. Anything you see from the scripture, you carry it, you don't just say it, you begin to do it. Because you are actually called to live in the God class. And the way you live in the God class is to begin to do the word of God. You are not just called to believe the word of God, you are called to do the word of God. Because you are in that class, so you live in that order. But there are many people who are only quoting, they are not doing. That's why this faith, they are not growing in it. And if you don't put this faith to work, you will never come to that point where you command results. You don't command results in this kingdom by talking alone. You command results in this kingdom by doing. And I can assure you, over 70% of believers are not doing. Come to church and teach on giving and begin to prophesy and see the way people will jump up. You will think they believe until you say they should give. That's when you will see only 10% of the church will actually give. So everybody shouting and jumping doesn't believe. He's hoping that something will happen to him because he has said, amen. And it's a caricature. Come to church and say, God believes in soul winning, that we need to win the world, that God is giving people nations, and you see people jump up, that they are possessing nations. Call them next week and say, let's begin to win the nation from your street. Go out and win souls. The man who possesses nations will be lying on the bed and say, no, it's you. Because they don't know the kind of faith they carry. This faith you carry will not grow just because you heard something. When you heard, the faith is born. But for you to grow in the faith, you begin to act. If you don't act, if you don't put it to work, you will never see it grow. This is why all of us here have enough faith to cast out mountains. All of us here possess enough faith to uproot trees. All of us here possess faith to be champions in life. But how many of us are truly champions? How many of us are truly uprooting all the mountains and uprooting all the trees? It is the few of us that are doing. And when you start doing, God will take you to the level where you can operate from. I told you my story. When God started teaching me about growing in the dimension of wealth and finances. And he told me every week, give 20 naira. And 20 naira was like the whole world. And I couldn't obey that instruction. And God didn't come back and waited. The next time God showed up, he said, start giving 100 naira. And so in order not to appear disobedient, when I want to go to church, I remove the clothes that has money, put it and wear a cloth that there's no money in. And then I come to church. At least me and God knows that I'm not disobeying him. And God was just looking at me like this. He said, when does this boy want to grow? Does he know what is in him? I have put faith in him to sponsor visions and to sponsor nations. And I'm teaching him how to grow in that faith. And he's running away. It took over 7 years for the revelation to dawn on me that when I'm giving, I'm not giving to be blessed. That I am already blessed. When I'm giving, God is training me how to administer what is in my spirit. The blessing is already in my spirit. God is not about to bless me. God has already blessed me with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. But the blessing is in my spirit. God is teaching me how to take it from my spirit and bring it to bear. So when God says give, he's not saying give so that he will bless me. When he says give, he's teaching me how to convert spiritual resources to natural resources. And so most of you here, the faith to set the world on fire is already in your spirit. But God is teaching you how to set the world on fire. And he told you, go to your street and set them on fire. And then you are waiting for the day God will send you to the U.S. When you apply for visa, in 2022, they will tell you to come for interview in 2024. They are not giving you visa. You are coming for interview. And maybe if you come, you will fail. Then the next one you apply will be in 2030. You will apply for interview 3 times and you will be going the 3rd time at the age of 90. You don't know how many people are on queue for interview. If you apply for interview now, 2022, they will give you a slot in 2024. Meanwhile, you are there on your prayer altar and say, we are taking over the nation. If you are wise, better begin to take over the nation from your street. Because when God sees you conquer your street and there is nobody to take over again, then he can send the American ambassador to a meeting where you are. And so you will not get the interview by being given a slot. You will get the interview from a meeting. And they will say, come tomorrow and collect visa. People don't know these things. Somebody wants to become like Reinhard Bonnke and gather 2 million souls. Meanwhile, you have not gathered 10. You have not gathered 20. Do you know how to grow your faith until 2 million people come to hear you? It takes time. It's not a gift. It's a growth. It's a growth. It's not a gift. Our generation is being deceived. It's not everything that comes by impartation. You want to operate the faith that commands result. You will put it to work for a long time. I've gone for meetings before where I felt in my spirit that I should pray for cripples. I made declarations. Nothing happened. I jumped out of the altar because I felt the action with which you act will produce results. And so in order to show the demons that I came ready, I didn't use the staircase. I jumped from the altar and landed on the ground. When I carried them up, they will fall down. After 3 times, I say, you know, this thing is little by little. It's little by little. God knew they will not stand up. Because I've not grown to a level where I could command bones. God knew. Not because he needed to give me more faith. He knew I had the faith, but I'd not grown in understanding. And so even though God knew it would not happen, when I jumped, he encouraged me. But when I came back up, I died to shame. And so I was no longer ashamed of praying for the sick. Anywhere I find them, I pray. Anywhere I find them, I pray. Anywhere I find them, I pray. And as I kept praying, I will now go for a meeting, and sometimes I wouldn't need to go down anymore. If I say in the name of Jesus, the next time I turn and turn back, I see somebody with a clutch. I say, what is going on? They say, somebody has started walking. I don't know when those results started coming. The only thing God put my attention on is to keep putting it to work. You focus on putting it to work, I will focus on the result. If you focus on the result, you will never arrive there. That's how you grow this faith. You grow this faith by putting it to work. And today we talk and go and sleep and things happen. We talk and go and rest and things happen. Why? The faith has grown. Before now, when you talk, anxiety will want to kill you. Sometimes I go for a conference. I say the first day I will teach. The second day will be revival. The third day will be miracle service. When the third day approaches, my heart will start shaking like this. I will now start telling myself, why did you announce this thing? To make things worse, on that day, I'm already tired. And so sometimes I will sleep and say, I will pray before I go. I will wake up. It's 5 o'clock. It's my protocol that is knocking on the door. Sir, it's time. It's time. I will now say, okay, please wait. I'll use 10 minutes, shower and dress up as I'm going. I say, what happened? I'm a lamb going to be slaughtered. I'm going for the slaughter. And then that time when I feel most dampened, I show up on the altar. And when I say in the name of Jesus, things begin to happen that I can't explain. Because it is not your job to explain what happens. It's your job to put faith to work. As you are putting it to work, you are growing in a kind of understanding that cannot be explained. Because the result was always there. Can I shock you? The power to conquer the world is already there. God will not give it to you in 10 years. God will not give it to you in 20 years. The faith to win the world is already there where you are sitting now. The faith to raise the dead is already in you. The faith to open blind eyes is already in you. The faith to unstop deaf ears is already in you. But you will practice your way into the experience. It's a strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. Many have not practiced enough. They've not put faith to work enough. That's why they are not commanding results. Go and find out men that are commanding results today. You'll be shocked. The path that God took them through, the embarrassments they suffered, the disappointments they faced, some of them were even called fake and fraudsters because they decreed boldly, hoping that God will show up, and God never showed up because God already showed up in Christ Jesus. You will practice your way into the experience. You will meet Christ through practice. That's why I say bodily exercise profits little. It's about godly exercise profits much, both in this life and in the life to come. God is not adding more faith. He's not giving you new things. You are the one growing in faith. And the way you grow in faith is through practice, so that you gain experiential knowledge. That experiential knowledge is what takes you to the fullness of the manifestation of your faith. The fullness of the manifestation of the faith is already in your spirit, but it will take experiential knowledge for it to manifest. And so every time there's an opportunity to put your faith to work, my brother and my sister, don't think twice. You may not get the result now. Your faith is not great because you had result. Your faith is already too great because the faith of the Son of God is in you. But you will keep practicing your way into the experience. If 40% of believers today begin to put their faith to work, in less than 15 years, we will take the whole world. Today you have 5 evangelists praying for the sick in stadia, raising cripples, and then people come and say they are specially anointed. People come and say they had an encounter with Jesus Christ. I know 1,001 people that had no encounter. Catherine Kuma had no encounter. Andrew Womack had no encounter. Andrew Womack raises the dead casually. His son died. After 45 minutes, he came to the mortuary. They said they've embalmed him. He said, wait. He caught the boy back to life. And so his grandson was born 1 year after the father's death. Have you heard something like that before? Did you hear what I said? Andrew Woman's grandson was born 1 year after the father's death. You know why? The man rose him from the dead. It's after 1 year he gave birth. So the father died 1 year before he gave birth to the first son. Because somebody understood how to grow in faith. If you come for his meeting, sometimes he's talking, you are struggling to hear him. The atmosphere is so dry. When he finished, he said, now every blind eye open. And then you are saying, wait, the atmosphere is not yet charged. The guy is not working with an atmosphere. He is the atmosphere. A tornado doesn't need an atmosphere. The wind can be blowing in this direction. The tornado will be going in this direction. It is the atmosphere. And you will never get there until you put your faith to work. Don't go and be waiting that one day you have great faith. One day you have strong faith. You already have the faith of the Son of God. Begin to put the faith of the Son of God to work. If that faith needs to manifest as great faith, it will. If it needs to manifest as strong faith, it will. But begin with practice. Don't allow nomenclature rob you from spiritual experience. The third way to interact with this faith is to service it. The faith of the Son of God is a faith with service. The way you service your car, that's how we service the faith of the Son of God. And there are four ways of servicing that faith. Number one is through prayer. The Bible said in Jude verse 20, it says, "You dearly beloved, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Praying in the Holy Ghost. So when you are praying in the Spirit, you are actually servicing that faith. When you are praying, you are servicing that faith. When you are praying, you are working on your understanding. Every garbage that stops that faith from working, you are taking it out. And by the time you finish praying, that faith is allowed access to manifestation. A lot of people have the faith of the Son of God, but it's not serviced. And because it's not serviced, many things choke that faith. And that faith cannot find expression. They can raise the dead, but they are dying of sickness. They should make others rich, but they are dying of poverty. And they are looking for somebody to tell them and give them a prophetic word of who they already are. At best, that prophetic word will give you succor. You will have to bet that reality on the altar. This is not a prayer you are praying for God to intervene. This is a prayer you are praying to allow your spirit find expression. Because God has already intervened. It's already in your spirit, man. I'm telling you, we don't know these things. That's why many people are easily manipulated. Somebody shows up and says, "Touch my shoe and your life will change." Touch your shoe, how? What do you mean, touch your shoe? I have the Holy Ghost in my spirit. I've not touched him. I have the faith of the Son of God. I've not touched him. I'll come and touch your shoe to manipulate. What kind of thing is that? And then you come to Africa, some people carry coke and bait people. Bait people with mineral so that they will get married. When you ask them, they say it's prophetic action. It's prophetic. What kind of daft prophetic action is that? It's your illiteracy that is manifesting. Why are all of those prophetic actions only in Africa? I saw the other video, they were baiting young ladies on the altar. A man who is laden with lust. He doesn't know how to help his lust. Gathers young lady that is rubbing cream on their body. And the cream is rubbing on their naked body is to give them favor. Backward generation because of a lack of understanding. When you know these things, even when you come for impartation, you know that impartation is primarily an activation. Something that is in your spirit is just being stirred up. That's what you know. I went to Reinhard Bonnke's meeting. We came in our thousands, hoping to come and take his anointing. And he said, "Well, I'm not ready to give anybody my anointing. If I give you my anointing, what will I do? Give you my anointing? How then will I serve God?" He said, "I'm not here to give anybody my anointing. If that's why you came, sorry, you made a mistake." But when you meet these people, they activate what is in your spirit. Just the way somebody's heart is failing and you charge it up with voltage, that vote activates his heart. Not because you gave him another heart. The faith is there. The dimension is there. Stay it up. And so the first way to service that faith is by prayer. When you pray now, your prayer is not powerful because you are calling God to intervene. You pray now, your prayer is powerful because it's creating a room for your faith to find expression. The Bible said he gave every man the measure, the faith you need to live the overcomer's life. He has already given to you. He's not adding more. You have to grow in what you already have. And so when you start praying, you are opening yourself to spiritual understanding so that your faith can find expression. Number two way to service that faith is to stay in the Word of God. Because that faith was born by the Word of God, that faith will be sustained by the Word of God. Many people are not walking in the faith that is already in their spirit because they are functioning by human philosophy and ideology. The Bible said, you have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. They are hearing what A is saying, B is saying, C is saying, and at the end of the day, they live in a world of confusion. Many people are not able to express the faith of God that is in their spirit because their environment has already poisoned their heart. So you find people walking in malice, walking in backbiting, walking in hatred, walking in competition, walking in evil, and they want to manifest the faith of God. The faith of God is as pure as God. And so the environment of that faith matters. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19, he said, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have shipwrecked their faith. And so when you stay in the word of God, what the word of God does for you is that it creates an environment for that faith to find expression. If the word of God is not, if it's not rich in your heart, your faith will not manifest. The faith is already there, but you will die in stagnation, die in pain, die in poverty. You see why we encourage people to study the word? You see why we encourage people to read the word? In Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. The life is already in your heart. But for the life to flow, you have to guard it. If you allow your life, your heart to be porous, life will be there, but life will be choked. And so the things you are begging for are the things you should be giving. And so we are no longer in the generation where we beg for. We are in the generation where we administer the purposes of God. But the way we can walk in it is to dwell richly in the word of God. When you wake up, think the word, talk the word, do the word, and see how extraordinary your life will become. Many people are mentored by fornicators, mentored by superstars in the world, mentored by people that have no regard for kingdom. And today you can't even explain kingdom in its original sense. Try it and see the Christians that will fight you. They don't want to hear what God is saying. They want to hear how society approves it. I was sharing something on marriage the other day, and my people wrote 1,001 questions that some people are asking that I should please do a teaching on this. I said, how come they don't know these things? How come? Why don't they know these things? Because they have been mentored by people of the world. And so they want to reduce the standard of God to the standard of the world. And if you don't do it that way, you are the enemy. No. If you want to function like a God on the face of the earth, you have to dwell in the realm of the world. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4 verse 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The reason is because the faith of the Son of God needs the environment of the world to find expression. Number three, how do you service that faith? You service that faith by receiving and connecting to those who are already walking in it. Why is it so? Because number one, they inspire that faith. Number two, they activate that faith so that the same thing you carry, when you make contact with them, being already walking in it, they can stir you to walk in it also. That's why Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, he said, be ye followers of them who through faith and patience obtain the promise. Be ye followers of them. These guys are already there. So when you connect to them, they will stir something. Sometimes, the greatest activation you receive is not when hands are laid on you. It's when you see what somebody else is doing. As you see what he's doing, from somewhere in your heart, faith will just rise up. And then you rise up, not because you receive extra faith, not because you receive anything more. You just rise up as if you rose up from the dead. And then you go and begin to manifest dimensions that you never believed were there. Because it was already there. It was always there. The least among us here is an overcomer. Make no mistakes about it. This is not a generation of superstars. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher is not a superstar. He just comes to remind you of what you are. That's why Peter said, I put you in remembrance that you will stir up your holy conscience. There is something on your inside. You are just being reminded of who you are. Every one of us seated here is a champion. If we walk in the reality of who he is, you will be shocked that the strongest among us are not on the pulpit. They are sitting down, not aware of who they are. The mightiest of us are not on the pulpit. Some of them are just housewives, hoping and waiting for their husbands to give them change at the end of the month. Meanwhile, they are supposed to be mighty champions on the face of the earth, but they've not been awoken to their reality. And so when you see, follow, and connect to people who carry that same order of faith, what they do is that they activate the dimensions that are in your spirit. Sometimes the dimensions in your spirit is what they also carry. And so that activation will cause you to walk in what they already have. And sometimes the dimension in your spirit is far from what they have. Or a robot is the spiritual authority over Kenneth Copeland. Or a robot walked in the healing anointing. Kenneth Copeland walked in the prosperity, wealth creating anointing. Because the activation is not necessarily becoming like the person who activated it. The activation is to stir what was already in your spirit, man. And there is something in your spirit that can change the world. There is something in your spirit that can change your family. There is something in your spirit that can cause your world to bow to the cross of Jesus. The problem is that you have either not put it to work, you have either not prayed it out, you have either not created a word-based environment for it to find expression, or you have either not received an impartation or an activation of that dimension to find expression. But tonight, one thing God will do for you is that everything that is locked up in your spirit that you are not aware of and you are running about asking for help, all of those things will be activated. You are not weak. Don't let anybody tag you as weak. You are not defeated. Don't let anybody tag you as being defeated. You are not overcome by anything. Don't let anybody define your end. You have not arrived yet. If you are not doing well, they should wait. You are going somewhere. And if you are doing well, they should wait. You have not started. Don't let anybody define you. Because nobody has the capacity to define you. The one that has the capacity to define you says, greater works than this shall he do. Because you have the faith that he also carried. Many have allowed theology underrate and undermine the quality of their existence. And so they look at them and define what they possess and use what they possess to define their experience. I may not have so much now. It doesn't mean my faith is weak. I may not have so much now. It doesn't mean my faith is not great. Give me time. I know what Jesus carried is what I carry. What I carry is not a photocopy from another man. What I carry is the same thing that Jesus carries. Give me time. I'm still growing in understanding. I am praying into a realm. There's a place where I will get to in prayer and the full weight of that faith will start manifesting. Give me time. I'm still ascending. Where I am now, I've not seen enough. There is something Jesus saw that I'm still climbing. I will get to the top of the mountain. Just give me time. I'm still coming in tongues. I'm still coming. I'm traveling in tongues. When I arrive there, you are going to see a champion. When you look at me and characterize me based on what you see now, you made a mistake. If you look at me and define me based on what you see now, you made a mistake. The only time you can begin to define me is when you say I resemble Jesus. If it is not like Jesus, it has not started. Give me time. I am praying somewhere. I am joining somewhere by tongues. Every time I come to church and you see me pacing the floor, I am not trying to ask God to give me something. God has given me everything. I'm trying to learn how to use that thing. Give me time. David said, the Lord teaches my hands to fight and my fingers to war. I'm still wielding a sword. I'm still wielding. I've not mastered it. It doesn't mean the sword is not there, but I'm still wielding it. Give me time. Give me time. When I'm reading the Bible, I'm not reading to preach. Give me time. There's something in my spirit. I'm creating an atmosphere. I know who I am. Just give me time. I'm not reading the Bible because I'm going for a conference. No, I'm creating an atmosphere. I know that Nehemiah alone brought enough wealth to build the walls of Jerusalem. Give me time. I know.
I know that Joseph alone delivered Egypt. Give me time. I'm creating an atmosphere. And when I create that an atmosphere, you are going to see somebody come out in the brightness of the Christos, a dimension that the world has not seen. Just give me time. Don't let theology qualify you. I know today you can't command the dead to rise. It doesn't mean you are weak. I know you don't just have it yet to be able to change things in territories. It doesn't mean you are not strong. Give you time. You are still learning. You are still learning. You are still learning. You are still gaining experience in the spirit. All things are yours. He said he has given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. What you need is time. Ah. Time has gone. The last way to interact with this faith is to guard it. The first way is to know that the faith is born and that it's already born in your spirit. God is not doing any more thing about your faith. You are the one to do something about your faith. The faith has already been born. It's the faith of the Son of God. The second thing to know is that the faith must be put to work. The third thing to know is that the faith must be serviced. And it is serviced through prayer, a service through the word, and a service through impartations and activation. And then the fourth thing to know is to guard it. Is to guard it. Listen, don't allow fear into your heart. Don't allow uncertainty into your heart. Some of us, the reason we are not making impact is because we know too much evil. We know too much error. We know too many ways why it should not work. And that's why it's not working. Sometimes you need not to know too much so that what you carry can begin to manifest. You've got to guard your faith from what you see. I don't see defeat. I don't hear defeat. I don't hear fear. Sometimes people come to me and say, "See what this person said." I say, "I don't need to hear it. I'm hearing another news. I'm hearing another news." Somebody will come to you and tell you, "People are saying this. People are saying that." They didn't come from where I was quoted. If they want to find out, or if they want to say something about me, they should go back to the studio of eternity where I was sculpted. You can't look at me now and say I'm in a hurry. Did you check my timetable in the spirit? Have you seen my calendar in the spirit? Because the average Nigerian needs to be 50 before he makes impact. Does not mean I will be 50 before I make impact. Don't define my experience. Don't define my existence by every Nigerian. I'm not one of them. I am from Mount Zion. Before you talk about my life and my destiny, go and read my scroll first. Find my scroll. If you don't have my scroll, you can't advise me. Don't talk to me because of what is happening to others. They will show up and look at the life of others and they want to use their failure to define your own progress. No, don't define me by the pace of another man. We are walking on different lanes. It may take the average Nigerian 50 years to become a millionaire. If God says I should be a millionaire at 20, don't come and tell me I'm in a rush. Don't tell me that. You don't know my scroll. You don't know my scroll. The reason most of you are limited is because you heard the wrong things. And that thing choked your faith. It weakened your faith. By now you should be taking measures. And then they told you, you are in a rush. You are ambitious. What is the definition of ambition? What I'm doing is to glorify God. Is to improve the life of others. What do you call ambition? When God is lifting a man, you call it ambition. Keep your advice in your pocket. By the time we are 90 years old, let's sit down together and find out who was right from who was wrong. Hey! Hey! Africans behave. When you don't make impact and you are old, they go back and gossip that you are a failure. When you start making impact early, they go back and say you are ambitious. The reason is because they don't know the scrolls of men. And so don't allow anything that will kill your faith. Focus. Focus. Face your lane and keep running. Some will crawl. Some we walk. Some we run. Some we fly. If God created you among those who will fly, don't go and join those crawling so that you can please man. If God made you to fly, fly, brother. Fly. 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 Some of the advice they give to Africans, they don't give Europeans those advice. They will find a man of God preaching to Africans and they will tell them they are ambitious. But when he crosses over to America and crosses over to Europe, he is 50 years in ministry, but a boy of 22 years will come and sit with him and they will be shaking hands as co-ministers. But when he comes to Africa, he will tell you to lie down first. I know the place of culture and honor, but I also know the witchcraft that is in Africa. Don't let anybody define your name because your score is different. If God meant you to fly, fly, brother. This meeting, God told me to come tell you that your life will never remain the same again. The reason some of you are where you are is because of what you have seen and heard. They told you people will succeed until they are old. And so even though you are laboring, your mind is fighting your progress. Because somewhere in your mind, you know that you will only succeed when you are 45. Somewhere in your mind, you know that you will only succeed when you are 50. So even though you are working hard, you can't go forward. Your effort takes you forward one step, and your mindset takes you backward 10 steps. Because you have heard the wrong thing. You will guard your faith and make progress. There is witchcraft in Africa. And that's why we are backward. There are some of you hearing me in here. At the age of 20, you will be a millionaire. There are some of you hearing me here. At the age of 20, you will start traveling across the nations to see the kingdom of God. There are some of you hearing me here. At the age of 20, you will gather people in stadia. One stadium to another stadium to another stadium to another stadium, and you will take impact across the globe. Hear this. Before anybody tells you you are in a rush, go back and hear, read his history. Find out what he was doing at the age you are. Then you will know whether his advice is from a pure heart. Somebody who is already a millionaire at the age of 20, he sees you working hard at 24, he says you are ambitious. Meanwhile, he was a millionaire at 20. Somebody who was already traveling across the nation at the age of 20, he sees you traveling at 30 and he's telling people that you are ambitious. It's not true now. There's something wrong with that advice. I suspect a rat. I suspect something. Don't let anybody who doesn't know your scroll define you. If you were created to fly, fly, brother. You want to fly in the Holy Ghost? is God the faith of the Son of God. And every one of you here that is born again, you already have that faith. And so I speak over your life. I decree the power to make impact. Receive it now. I decree over your life the power to make exploits. Receive it now. I decree over your life the power to get wealth. Receive it now. I decree over your life the power to work wonders. Receive it now. In the name of Jesus. There are many persons walking the length and breadth of Africa that are either confused or frustrated. This is the foundation of their quagmire. But I speak concerning you today. Every confusion and every frustration that limits them, in the name of Jesus, it breaks up your life today. Go forward and make progress. Go forward and make impact. Go forward and create change. In the name of Jesus. Do you know how old most of the missionaries that came to Africa were? Some of them were 17. Some of them were 19. 19. And they had grown already enough that they wanted to change the world. And they traveled from Great Britain to come to unknown lands. They didn't even know their destination. But they had matured at 19 that they didn't want to be mediocres. They were looking for territories to create change. And you are here at the age of 35. You say you are still waiting. There's something wrong with your process. You didn't know what you didn't. You don't know process. You are just wasting, brother. By the time your process finishes, you'll be 90. And you'll be ready, but you'll no longer be qualified for impact. How many spots in the world do you find them recruiting men at 30? Do you know anyone? How many organizations in the world? Do you know any organization or institution in Africa or in Nigeria that recruit people above 26? When you want to apply for a job, if you are above 26, you are already disqualified. Meanwhile, you are 30 and then you are still waiting that you don't want to be ambitious. Wake up! Don't let anybody who doesn't know your scroll try to read your destiny. The world is waiting for such as you. The world is waiting for such as you. There are institutions that will rise from your life. There are companies that will rise from your life. There are organizations that will rise from your life. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace now. Before this year is over, hear this, in all humility, I speak by the help of God. I have seen a measure of mercy. I know what speed is. I know what favor is. I've gone to nations where government officials come to kneel down to be prayed for. Ministers, senior functionaries. I've known a bit of honor. In the name of Jesus, before this year is over, every grace you need to convert you to a man of impact, receive it now. Visions 10 years ago, but as I speak now, the visions are dying because from complacency you have drifted to mediocrity, and now the energy to bring forth is no longer there. Now, hear the word of the Lord, the power and the grace to cause those visions to speak. Receive it now. before this year is over, everything you've lost, everything that the devil has stolen from you, in the name of Jesus the Lord, I decree they are returned. Every delay you have suffered and the years that have been eaten up, in the name of Jesus, I command restoration. Some of you have become objects of mockery. They use your name now to explain to people what failure means. And to make things worse, you don't even know what to do. The Bible said he lifted the beggar from the dunghill. He establishes him upon thrones that he may inherit them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, except I'm not sent to you, before this year is over, your status and your experiences, they change completely. Thank you, Father. As big as we are in Africa, very few people are making impact. As big as we are in Nigeria, very few people are making impact. You can literally count them. Out of 200 million people, out of over 200 million, in fact, statistics captures it, that only 2 million are living at poverty, 1%. And then somebody says, you are ambitious. They should pray for you whether you will survive. You can literally count those making impact in ministry. Out of over 200 million people, the force that keeps people down in Africa, the power that keeps people down, in the name of Jesus, I break it over your life. Go forward and prosper. Go forward and prosper. Go forward and prosper. In the name of Jesus. Don't let anybody threaten you with failure or death. It is more honorable to die making impact than to live without impact. The Bible said concerning the heroes of faith, it says some of them died in faith. Instead of living for 90 years and go back to Zion without winning souls, better win 10 million souls at the age of 30 and die. What is the meaning of life when your life counts for nothing? Don't let anybody threaten you that you'll be cut off. How old did Jesus live? How old did John the Baptist live? We are defined by impact, not longevity. The power to make impact. The power to make impact. The power to make impact. In the name of Jesus the Lord, it rests upon you now. And hear me, as you make impact, you will not die. Nothing will cut you off. The prayers of wickedness in the heart of man will not come to pass in your life. You will make impact and you will be preserved. And you will be a joy of many generations. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and worship the Lord. you in your teenage years, and some of you in your early adulthood, you will begin to make inventions. The demonic syndrome over Africa is about to break. 90% of Africans are civil servants working for salary because the spirit of wisdom is not at work. You know the meaning of a civil servant? It's a civilized servant. That's why no matter how hard you work, you cannot make global impact. One of us walked up to me last week and said, I've created an app. I said, that is it. You will not just create app. Most of you will become CEOs on telecommunication platforms. Most of you will become CEOs in different platforms, biochemicals. You will create, you will invent, you will discover, and by you, nations will be sponsored. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace now. Some of you hearing me here, you will become authors, writers, and your writings will be more advanced than the writings of Shakespeare. You will write books that will run across nations. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace now. Let me ask you a question. What makes it special? What makes it a wonder? If you are organizing crusades at the age of 50, what makes it a wonder if you create or discover something at the age of 90? God will raise people that will not look like it, but they will do it. That will not qualify for it, but they will do it. People that what God will do through them, the moment you see them, you will know a spirit is involved. In the name of Jesus, receive that grace now. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands in the next 30 seconds and honor Him. Something has happened to you. Your life has changed. The wisdom to create change has come upon you. The power to create change has come upon you. Your life has just changed. In the name of Jesus, your destiny has just been altered. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. We are out of time. Usually we close by 8:30. But there was a body. As you live here, you will not be the same again. Strange things will begin to happen to you, with you, and around you. And your life will become a wonder. It doesn't matter what those ahead of you in your family went through. Your story will be different. In the name of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. In the next 1 minute, we are out of here. We usually don't close like this. But sometimes the Holy Ghost overtakes you. I have to deliberately calm the service down to explain a few things. That's not how I teach on faith. I was just saying some things just to help you because I can't build. The way I teach, usually I wouldn't have been able to say anything because of the time. But next week we continue again. We pray here on Mondays. On Tuesdays we have Bible studies. And on Sunday we have encounter services. As much as your time can allow you, make it a date with us and see how your life moves from glory to glory. I'm not calling anyone to take the assignment, so we close the service. By the way, our first truck just arrived, Abuja. Can you project it here? Can you project it? We are mobilizing functionaries to different territories, different nooks and different crannies of the city to harness
souls for the kingdom. Can we project it here? Do we have it on the other screen already? So the truck just arrived. Meanwhile, we are getting four of these. Four. We have not started anything. Those who think we are in a rush, they've not seen anything. We will shake this world. This world. We will shake it for Jesus. Stretch your hands and bless the Lord for that great wonder. One of our burdens in this house is to win souls for the kingdom. One of our burdens. We are on the project of winning 5 million souls. The moment we hit that target, we go for 20 million. Because by the time we finish 1 million souls, many functionaries would have been born, taking different cities and different territories for Jesus. Bless the Lord for that which he has done. Thank you, Father. We bless your name for what you are doing in our midst. We honor you. We magnify you. Lord, we ask that your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.